You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, and I teach entrepreneurs and dream chasers to take action on the dream God put on their hearts. I empower go-getters to get past their stubborn insecurities so they can crush their goals, outgrow their fears, and create prosperity in their businesses and lives. It's time to rise and shine. Let's dive deep. Hey guys, it's Trish Blackwell, your host of the Confidence Podcast. You are listening to episode 361, 15 Ways to Stop Caring What Other People Think. Now, caring too much about what other people think about you is the fastest way to play small with your life. You can stop yourself from being negatively affected by this psychological fear by learning some practical and proven ways to give yourself permission to not care and actually step into doing it so that you can trust that you get to be who God created you to be. Because when we play small with our potential, we are throwing away the gift of life. There's no easier way to sideline yourself from life, from happiness, from fulfillment, than caring too much what people may or may not, as we speculate, think, or say about you. So we're going to dive into this topic today. More specifically, we're talking about 15 practical ways to stop caring what people think and how to fire up your heart so that you take more action now to change than you ever have before. Now, if you're new to the show, I want to welcome you. The Confidence Podcast is the podcast for high achievers who crave deeper, more fulfilling success. In each episode, you will be coached on how to train your mindset and your heart set so that you can step confidently and courageously into your calling. And if you've ever struggled with insecurity, self-doubt, imposter syndrome, perfectionism, body image issues, or overwhelm, you will feel understood and encouraged here. So welcome. I'm excited for you to learn how to create a life you love and love the life you live by training your confidence. And if you haven't yet already taken my free class on how to have more confidence, I don't know what you're waiting for. You can get instant access. Literally, you sign up, you can start the class right now today at trishblackwell.com/free class. Now let's highlight our review of the week. And y'all, I seriously, you're making my day when you leave a review. It's like a virtual hug and high five to me. So I gotta thank you in advance, but really you're not, the reviews, they keep me going without a doubt. I read each and every one of them, but they also help other people find this show. So I want to thank you in advance for paying it forward so that someone else can find this show among the 700,000 shows that are available and know that this is a great place for them to be encouraged, to be supported, and to be cheered on. So this one is from Allie Bailing. And girl, I almost cried. Like, I read this review right at a point when my energy was low and I needed some encouragement. So I gotta say thank you back to you. So here's what Allie said. She said, "A new life, 5 stars. Wow, just wow. This is the first time in my life that I've actually loved myself. I always thought I was a confident person, but deep down I really wasn't. I started listening to this podcast and it made me feel known and understood. Thank you for all of the encouragement and love. Trish, you've changed my life." And Allie, I can tell you this, you changed my day. I mean, really, really, those words spoke life to me. I got to say thank you back to you. And I'm so excited for you to continue exploring more and more what life looks like when you really create a life that you love. And so speaking of creating a life you love, I got to give you guys one more free tool before we go deep into our coaching today. If you're going to do anything for your confidence and mindset, then the first thing I would tell anybody to do is to journal. I get it. Like, here's the thing. I know we all think we should journal. We talk about it. It's an easy thing to think about, but not as easy to execute and do. But I can tell you, if you commit to it, it can change your life. That's why I want to offer my 21-day Toxic Thought Freedom Journal. It's also called Freedom Journal because that's a lot shorter and easier to say as I get tongue-tied myself telling you about it, to anybody who wants to finally establish a healthy and effective journaling process for your lives. The beautiful thing about the Freedom Journal is that it takes just 8 minutes a day. And again, I'm not selling you anything here. This is free. I want journaling is the center of my day, of my growth, of my daily transformation. And it has been the linchpin for so many of my clients to see breakthrough. So I want that for you, whether or not you ever work with me in a paid coaching capacity or not. Take this. This is one of the most fundamental and powerful things that you can start with. So as you think about the change that you want to see and experience in your life, is it worth committing 8 minutes a day to? You know, I used to ask people that when they were, when I was a personal trainer and we were working with fitness goals, and they said, no, yeah, me, I'll definitely, 30 minutes a day, I can definitely commit that, because changing my body means everything to me. So if changing your life means everything to you, I really believe the first step is committing to 8 minutes a day to journal and using the Freedom Journal method. You can grab the journal for free and also get access to my 7-day journaling coaching course, which is going to help you successfully establish a productive new journaling routine. I'll pop into your inbox, give you a quick 3-4 minute video to help you know what you want to work on that day and what to be focusing on to help you consistently create that first 7-day pattern. So to get the journal and to get started, just go to trishblackwell.com/freedomjournal. And if you're driving, or maybe you're washing dishes or scrubbing toilets right now, you don't have to worry about it. You can just go to the show notes, which you can find at trishblackwell.com/361. So let's dive into the nitty gritty. Let's talk about how to stop caring what other people think. And you may be familiar with this topic. This topic I've actually covered back in episode 187, y'all. That was years ago. That's why I was like, I think it's time for us to refresh this and get a new take. But I do want you to know, if this is a topic that resonates with you, after you listen today, go back and listen to episode 187, which you can find at trishblackwell.com/187. You certainly can scroll through whatever podcast app you listen to, but I think that's going to be a lot of scrolling, because what, we're at 361. Going back to 187, it's going to take some time. But that is, and the topic of that show was actually pretty similar to this, how to stop caring what people think. Now we're just going more specific with 15 ways. That one shares 5 and it's a little bit more mega as far as versus we're really going deep in and more specific. So, and I got these written out for you. I'm going to read through them and then we're going to go back and say something about each of them. Number 1, humanize other people. Everyone is broken and beautiful in diverse ways. Number 2, know what everyone actually wants. Love and acceptance. Number 3, address your own judging eye and your own pride and work on it. Number 4, embrace your awkwardness. Number 5, see where your pride is making you fall, because sometimes it can be displayed in the perceptions that we crave that others will have of us. Number 6, get clarity on what you actually want, happiness or perceived happiness. Number 7, explore yourself and learn to like yourself. Because when you like yourself, it's okay when other people don't. Number 8, relinquish your control issues. Number 9, stop fantasizing that you can get everyone to like you or even agree with you. Number 10, remember, more than likely, the thing you're worried about, people judging you about, literally never crosses their minds. Number 11, be thankful for all the things that make you you, and then do your best with them as a gift back to God. Number 12, start doing bold things that you've always wanted to do. There's no better time than now. Number 13, try new things and be happy not being good at them. Number 14, be a master of your words. Knowing how to use them will help you, not handicap you. And number 15, stop hurrying, because rushing your timeline is about other people, not about you. So let me give you some more practical thoughts besides just reading you a list. What does this all mean? Let's go back to number 1. Let's humanize other people. I think it's so helpful when we, as we're thinking about these fears of what people might be thinking, or it might be people as a general people, or it might be somebody specific, or it might be Facebook friends from high school you haven't actually talked to in 15 years, or it might be your parents and somebody close to you. I'm not sure who that person or those people, that group is ominously making you hesitate from doing, from living like that, that you're playing small because you don't want to rock the boat, be seen, or be embarrassed, or be found as a fraud, or whatever that fear is. But I think it's so helpful when I humanize other people, everyone, myself included, we are broken, but we're also beautiful in diverse ways. And so if someone's going to judge you for whatever it is that you might be doing, that's brokenness on their part, that judgment and that critical eye, that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. And that doesn't make them a person you want to discount from your life, because we are complex and multifaceted people. We have brokenness and beauty all at one sense. And so I think sometimes it's helpful just to go, look, I really value that person's opinion in me, but that person, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like I do. They are normal, just like me. I do not need to be intimidated or think that their opinion is higher than, or that they have social power or whatever it might be. I don't need to impress them. I want you to be free from this need to impress or be impressive. That has been the work of my own self-growth for the last 5 years, and something I'm still working on, but I'm finding more and more freedom the more I'm saying, you know what, I don't need to impress anybody. I am free from striving, and I don't have to prove myself. And now I got to remind myself of this every day, but it's truly helped me step out of caring too much what people think. So it's a new mindset. It's a new actually approach a value system of, like, I used to actually intentionally say, I'm going to prove my worth. I'm going to prove myself. I'm going to make them see how good I am or whatever it might be. And now I'm saying, I actually don't care because I don't have to prove myself. And so that, even just saying that as a statement, is a way to step away from really overcaring what people think. So, all right, number two, know what everyone actually wants: love and acceptance. At the end of the day, everyone wants to know, do you see me and do I matter? And so while you might feel overwhelmed and distracted and discouraged that you're like, gosh, I care too much, I want you to know that most people are struggling with that exact same thing. Because most people, if we all break down all the fears, all of the facades, all of the takeaway, all the striving, all of the Instagram, you know, filtered stories, we want to be loved. We want to know that we're worthy of love and that people miss us when we're not around, that we are noticed and remembered. And for years I thought I was invisible. And you'd be like, no way, Trish, like, because technically on paper, I was the leader or the captain of everything I did in high school and college, and you know, and I was popular, and I was popular with all social groups, yet I still felt invisible. And I thought that I didn't have a memorable face. I mean, literally, like, we downplay ourselves, you guys. And so ultimately, I needed to know that I was worthy of being remembered and that I was loved. And so if you remember that about other people and you realize that you're not the only one that is struggling with caring too much about what people think, you can really go, wait, let's stop the madness. Why are we doing this? How about we just be authentic? How about we just tell people, I think you're doing great? And then give yourself permission to say that back to yourself. Okay, number three, address your own judging eye. Like, you've heard this saying before, like, the measure you judge is the measure you will be judged, right? It's karma. What you put out is what you get back. And that's so hard. But if you want to stop caring what other people think, one of the easiest things to do is start being more kind about people in your own mind. Now, I know that you probably aren't doing lots of gossip and you're not intentionally tearing people down, but we all, when we are feeling insecure, we go to a place of judgment and criticism, and even if it's a, well, at least I'm not like blank, or, well, I might not be where I want to be, but I'm doing better than so-and-so, a sense of comparison. Anytime we engage in comparison and competition, we're pulling somebody down or pushing them down in order to pull ourselves up. And what that does is it perpetuates your own fear that other people are doing it to you. So best way to step out of it is to stop doing it. Number four, embrace. I love this one. I was talking to a client about this and we were like, wait, it's really cool that we can do this. Embrace your awkwardness. How about the fact that we're just all actually a little bit awkward, socially awkward, athletically awkward. I don't, maybe your humor is awkward. How about that's sometimes, for me, at least the people I love in my life, that's what I love the most about them. Awkwardness to me is authenticity, and it's only awkward if you're apologizing for it and you're embarrassed of it. I think if we can just say, hey, I'm a little awkward here, and so is everybody else, you then don't get caught up with the trap of going, oh, I don't want to be awkward or somebody think I'm awkward. Like, that'd be nerdy. Like, it goes back to like middle school, you guys. Why are we so worried about what people think about us? Like, we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and still worried in the same way as if we're on the basketball court when we're 13 at, you know, after school, worrying that somebody might think we don't look cool. It doesn't matter. And everybody's thinking that. So let's just embrace it and be like, yeah, I'm kind of nerdy. I'm kind of awkward sometimes. And I like that about myself. Because when you like that about yourself, people want to be around you. People aren't judging you. So that's one of the most fun ways to stop caring what people think, is just accept your awkwardness. Number five, see where your pride is making you fall. You've heard this. Pride comes before fall. This one's been tough for me, and God's really been putting on my heart some places where pride's been seeping into my life. And I think, you know, this is a continual process of growth throughout that's never going to be done. And I pray that it will never be done. And I want to continue to grow and become better and better and more, well, for me, like Christ, like I want to be the hands and feet of love, right? And pride's human, and it's going to get in there. And for me, when I get into a critical mind, it's because I care what people think about me. Well, why do I care what people think about me? Typically because I'm feeling insecure. And if I'm feeling insecure, it's about this sense of pride. I need somebody to say you're good, Trish. Like, and fundamentally, I'm calling this pride because we don't actually need that. You are loved by God. You are created for a purpose. You have everything you need in front of you. You don't have anything to prove. So sometimes we take into our own hands and we're like, well, I just want to earn this. And it's a pride thing. It's control. We'll get ahead of the control issues. But just for me, this is a little abstract, but for me, really working on all areas where pride seeps into my life has been freeing and given me peace to find freedom from caring what people think. Now, again, not to say that these caring what people think doesn't still creep into my mind, but at a much less frequency than ever before. Number six, get clarity on what you actually want. This was huge for me. Do I want to be happy, or do I want people to think I'm happy? There's a big difference. I mean, big difference. And you've got to figure out, what is that difference look like? What is the perceived happiness? What is the Instagram happiness, and what is the true happiness? And you got to decide what you actually want. I remember, I won't ever forget when I was struggling with my body image and struggling at the end of my eating disorder. I dated somebody who had the kindness to say, and he was in the fitness industry, so he knew the science behind it. He was like, look, Trish, I mean, you can either be strong or you can be skinny. I mean, which one do you want to be? Like, do you want to starve yourself, or do you want to be toned? Like, your goals are conflicting. Like, what do you actually want? And I remember going, well, can't I have it both? No, like, it's either, what do you want? Do you want to be happy, or do you want to be perceived to be happy? Okay, so number seven, explore yourself and learn to like yourself. Because when you like yourself, it's okay when other people don't. And I talk about this often in the College of Confidence with my members, of really exploring the adventure of being you. And it doesn't mean, as if you're like almost stressed hearing me say just be you, like, no, you don't have to know exactly who you are yet. It's a process, because so many of us walk through life stepping through the kind of societal pressures and expectations of our parents and our teachers and our neighborhoods and whatever it might be, and we do the things and we are told who we think we are, but we actually haven't slowed down to think, what is it that makes my soul sing? That was the first thing that a mentor said to me when I was really trying to figure out, who am I? Who did God make me? Like, why don't I really get me? Like, what? Like, I'm 20-something years old. I should know this, right? And he said, Trish, what makes your soul sing? And I was like, writing, birds, you know? And he said, great, do that. Do more of that. So we get clues. You're on this adventure of figuring out more and more of like who you are, but you have to be willing to do things and say, did I like doing this or not? Like, and so I've come to make a habit of every 3 months trying something new. That's how I got into figure skating. It's how I'm started doing calligraphy and things that I'm not good at, so that I can learn to go, do I like this? It's learning, you know, am I resilient? Am I willing to try something new? Am I willing to look awkward and accept help? All of those things help me learn more about me. And when I can learn to be proud of myself for having that kind of open personality, that the openness to new experiences, whether they're in public or they're something you do privately, doesn't, you know, that's a personality type thing. If you're extrovert or introvert or active, or you're more intellectual, just doing new things and noticing and taking note of the way you grow from pushing yourself, from doing new things, from exploring, from trying even new, like, foods, like new culinary tastes, new restaurants, and saying, what did I learn here? Did I like that? I liked that I was willing. I may not have liked the experience, but I really liked that I was willing to do things. I learned that from my mom. My mom is in her mid-60s, and that woman, like, as soon as she gets a new, like, tickle to try something, she's, like, all in. She's joining, like, you know, group cycling, like not spinning. She's, like, road cycling in Pelotons with people, and she just does it. And I love that, because it's, you don't know if you like it unless you try. You don't know what you're capable of doing unless you go out and just try. And I think when you learn to say, you see that kind of resilience in yourself and that courage, you can really, certainly there are always going to be things that we're each working on and we want to grow and improve and be transformed within ourselves. But if fundamentally you like yourself because you're proud of yourself, then you'll be able to stand firm and go, you know what, it's okay that other people don't, not everybody likes me. It's the lessons we learned in kindergarten and preschool, like not everyone needs to like you. And that doesn't change your value, your amazingness, your brilliance. There are certain people that you aren't naturally fond of as well. And so you can take that in consideration and say, you still respect them, you still honor them, you still encourage them, but you don't have to be best friends with everybody either. So I think that's really, really powerful to go, look, when I can be proud of myself, I can like myself. And if I just accept that and like myself, it's okay that other people don't. And furthermore, other people's opinion of you is none of your business. We get so nosy. We are such control freaks, right? We want to control what people think of us. And the reality is that that is the most insane thing we could want to do. We cannot control someone's opinion, someone's preferences, someone's feelings. So number 8, that goes to, let's relinquish these control issues. You got to let it go. I didn't realize until I was in my mid to late 20s that I really was trying to control other people. I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to perform a certain way. I wanted to date the right people. I dated a bunch of professional athletes, not because I liked them and I thought they were attractive, but they weren't great guys. I mean, I wanted people, gosh, I can't believe I'm telling you this. I wanted people to be like, oh, look at her. Look at them. They must have it together. Like, what? All of that was to have control of some point, of some sort. And you guys have put me in some bad relationships. It was perceived happiness. It was the difference between perceived happiness and real happiness. And so I had to learn to let go of thinking that I could control people. And sometimes it's helpful. I know you probably have some in your life that you're like, I'm so nice to this person. I don't know why they don't like me. I say, let's be thankful for those people because they remind us that it's okay. The world's still spinning. You're still amazing. And they're also still amazing. It's okay for your coworker or some you see at the gym for you to rub them the wrong way. You don't need to change and they don't need to change. We don't have to all be BFFs. It's so hard because I'm like, I believe we should all love each other, but we also don't have to all be BFFs. It's okay to have preferences of what friends you want to hang out with, right? So same thing backwards, that if somebody doesn't want to hang out with you, that's also okay. It's not a reflection on you or verifies you being worthy of being rejected. So number 9, stop fantasizing that you can get everyone to like you or agree with you. Okay, this is just expanding upon what we've already talked about, but I liked this as an actual method because I want you to realize that you are living in a fantasy la-la land. I say you, let's just call it the universal you. All of us are living in la-la land if we think we can get everybody to like us. And so one of the things that shakes me up when I'm like, I'm too absorbed with what someone might think, or hey, if there's a podcast listener who doesn't like now these themes I'm talking about, like, I care because I care. It's okay to care. Caring means you have a heart. It means you want to show up in this world well. And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to pursue excellence. But la-la land is thinking that I can be it all and do it all and appease everybody and be liked by everyone. And you've heard me use this analogy before, but I can think of celebrities who I think are fantastic. And you might be like, they're terrible. Or a politician that I might think is terrible. You might like be on their campaign, right? Or ultimately, there are, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter you're the rock star of all rock stars or Mother Teresa, there are going to be people who really love and support you and people who are bothered by you. That's okay. So let's just walk away from it, not get so wrapped up in it. It's just part of human nature. Number 10, remember that more than likely, the thing that you're worried about people judging you about never crosses their minds. For me, with my body image issues, I was a swimmer through most of my life, right? And so I've got very broad swimmer's shoulders, and I'm reasonably well endowed. And so between having boobs and having shoulders, I always felt so wide up top. I'm like, ugh. Meanwhile, my husband loves that. But I spent years of my life thinking that people looked at me and were like, ugh, man, she really could tone up those arms. And like, you guys, do you think any, like, maybe somebody was thinking that, but most of the time I was getting complimented on whatever is something else, like whether I was doing or that they liked being around me, or they're like, how did you get your calves so ripped? I'm like, I don't even think about my calves. I was just blocked for years thinking everybody saw the thing I didn't like about myself, right? Maybe it's your stomach. Maybe it's the mole on your cheek. Maybe it's your height. I don't know. Or maybe it's the way you talk or something else. Maybe it's not a physical thing. But the thing that we often are so anxious about, that we are so self-critical about, literally is the last thing people ever even notice about us. And so I think there's some freedom in just going, nobody cares that much. Like, nobody is being as critical as you, and they care about you, but they care about the whole you, not the, oh no, she gained 2 pounds, or oh no, gosh, he's kind of some bad jokes. Like, they really, maybe it's a passing thought that's a microsecond in their mind, and then they go back to their thoughts about themselves and how people are thinking about them, and they just think about you and they're like, man, I like that person, right? And so they're not, no one's judging you as much as you think that they are. And that's so freeing. And so let's move to number 11. Be thankful for the things that make you you, and then do your best with them to give them a gift back to God. So I've heard it said in a really nice way that, look, who God makes us is, and the potential God puts in us is his gift to us. What we do with that potential is our gift back to God. You know, for me, at the end of my life, I'm going to have to stand before God. My heart and soul desperately yearns to be able to say, I gave it my all, Lord. I showed up and I did my best to use everything you gave me to play big for you, to show up in the world with love and light and point people back to you and to your love, that I didn't play small because I was scared and I was worried what people thought. That for me was a dialogue that changed how I behaved. When I realized that I was playing small because I was afraid of what other people thought, but I knew that ultimately I would have to answer to God and go, wait, why'd you play small? Because you were afraid what so-and-so might think of you, when really I needed you to be you so that so-and-so, that exact same so-and-so, could be loved and feel love and be inspired and step into their best selves. That for me was really, really game changing. So maybe that would help you as you step out of the shackles of caring too much of what people think. Number 12, start doing bold things that you've always wanted to do. Man, if you just, being bold doesn't mean you're not afraid. It just means you're like, here we go. Like, I'm going to feel it, feel awkward, feel uncomfortable, feel unprepared. But I am a doer. I am an action taker. I am somebody who believes that the best is yet to come. I believe God is doing a fresh and new thing in me over and over every day. So I believe I'm getting bolder and bolder. And so what's that thing I've always wanted to do? All right, maybe it's time to do it. Maybe it's time to go back to school. Maybe it's time to start writing the book. Maybe it's time to have that conversation with that parent or that teacher. Maybe it's time to, I don't know, take a trapeze class. I don't know. But be bold. 13, maybe moving abroad with your family. I don't know. Be bold. Try new things. And be happy at not being good at them. This one was really hard for me, but I have intentionally, because I have my personality type A, I wanna be a natural at everything. Like, I love being, oh, I just picked this up. I told you guys, I have some pride I'm working on. But it's that competitive nature in me that I want it to, everything to come to me naturally and look effortless. And the reality is it's not. And so I have learned that the more I do things that I'm not good at, the healthier my sense of well-being is. That I want to be the student. I want to be learning. I want to be the worst in the room so that I can learn, so that I can also stay humble and know that I can still, the experience of learning and growing is what I'm after, not being the best or looking the best or perceived happiness, right? This perceived success, perceived natural ability, or perceived intelligence. You know, you could also be like, look, I want to be the first to admit that when I don't know something and that I'm still learning and I've got so much to learn, and that's a great thing. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I'm happy knowing that I've got so much to go, because then I don't have to worry what people think, because people know I'm growing. Hey, as long as I'm growing, they can't judge me. So that's a freeing. That's a freeing perspective and angle. Number 14, become a master of your words, knowing how to use them to help you, not to handicap you. Your words and the thoughts that you have are the person you speak to most in your life is you. You have an internal conversation going with yourself all the time. And that conversation, that narrative, dictates your life. And every word you think, every string of words you put together to form a sentence, a paragraph, a thought, a belief, all of those, each one either gives you life or gives you death, either helps you or handicaps you. And if you want to become a master of your words, you start with journaling. You might go, well, cool, how do I do it? Journal. You journal and you get a coach. Come work with me in the College Confidence. We work on this because if you can master your words, you can master your life. If you haven't yet gotten that free journal, again, it's trishblackwell.com/free, freedom journal, freedom journal. And then number 15, stop hurrying. Your timeline, I'm raising my hand here, super guilty of this one and struggled in this and learning more and more, is to stop hurrying. Because hurrying is, what it does is it indicates to me that I'm behind. It says my timeline isn't where it should be, that I'm not doing enough, I'm not being enough, that other, in comparison to who, right? What? Well, other people. So rushing your timeline is about other people, not about you just being motivated. I always justified it. I was like, well, I'm just really driven. I'm a type 3 Enneagram. I'm motivated. But to what? To what value? And I was in a hurry to get things done. In fact, we're actually going to do next week, and I'm going to give you at the end of, you got to listen to the end of the episode today, because I bring Ellie on, my 4-year-old, and you're going to get just a minute with her about what she thinks about me when I hurry and when I'm more present. And it's going to be a preamble to what we are talking about next week on the Confidence Podcast. How to stop hurrying, how to slow down, how to trust your timeline. So if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, hit that subscribe button. You don't want to miss what's coming up next week. But I love this hurrying. I realize that hurrying puts me into a sense of comparison and competition. And anytime you step into comparison and competition, you step away from being creative and being content. And when you step away from that, you step back into the shackles. You put yourself, you're basically binding your hands back up and saying, let me keep caring what people think. Let me keep playing small. Yeah, you know what? I'm not ready. I'm going to tell you already. The one thing I want you to feel challenged on this week is, are you playing small? Are you playing small with your life? Are you playing small with your marriage? Are you playing small with your voice? Are you playing small with your relationship with God? Where are you playing small with your finances? So as you think about this, and as you think about the 15 ways to stop caring what people think, it's also really important that you know, well, why should I stop caring what people think? Is it really going to change my life? Is it really going to create a better, happier, healthier, more productive, more successful life for me? And I can tell you, for me, yeah. But you got to answer it for yourself. Because when you realize that the fear of caring, a fear of what people may or may not think, that actually steals from you, it is a thief, then you can get mad. Because when I think about it, if I had something stolen from me, or had a friend have something stolen from them, their iPod, what year am I in? I meant to say AirPods, or their iPhone, or something of value, I'd be bad. Don't steal from my friend. Nobody's the right, we get angry at thieves, at the concept of somebody coming in and burglarizing your home, your whole home, taking everything from you. And yet when we care too much what people think, we're opening up our lives and saying to the thief of negativity, the thief of comparison, the thief of whatever it is that's making you play small, come take my joy. Hey, come take my potential. Oh, it's okay. And so I actually find it more compelling to take action and to do something when I'm mad, right? And righteous anger. So I want you to list out what caring about other people, what caring too much has stolen from you. And I want you to activate that righteous anger. For me, it stole my confidence. It stole body. It stole my body security. It stole years of dating the wrong people just to look cool. It stole opportunity. It stole health. It stole wealth. I mean, said differently, because I cared so much, I was mean to myself. I dated the wrong people. I didn't share my true self with the world. I was afraid to try new things. I didn't want to look stupid. I was hesitant to put my first book out. I was sat on it for almost a year. I was reluctant to go big in my business when I started, because I had all these justifications and imposter syndrome and what would people think? I spent years where I did things that I didn't actually want to do. I worked to look cool and engaged in excessive striving and workaholic tendencies in order to prove myself to look successful. And you guys, the list goes on and on and on. And when I finally rectified that and reconciled what was going on, I got to be me, and I got to step out of perceived happiness and into happiness, perceived sex success and into success, perceived great relationships and into the best marriage I could ever imagined. So while what I've coached you on today and what I've shared from my heart sounds like a lot of work, I just implore you to realize this is worth the work. So keep digging. I have a mantra in episode 187, where we did talk about this topic before. There was a mantra that I shared, and I put it in the show notes for you. It's a freedom mantra. I want you to use it this week, and I want you to read it over, speak it out loud, pray over it, meditate over it, whatever is going to best serve you. But please go back and copy paste this from the show notes, text it to yourself, put it somewhere you see, and remind yourself that you have permission to stop caring what people think. And here is the mantra. I am who I am for a reason, and I have a specific purpose inside of me that can only be lived out when I trust myself to be how and who my creator intended me to be. I do not care about, because I cannot control, the opinions of others, but rather I care about the opinion of my creator. I am choosing to show up in life as my full self, because if I don't, the story and purpose put inside of me will never come to fruition. I'm willing to show up today, and I will show up tomorrow, and I will keep showing up every day. All opinions, all distraction, all else aside, I will be faithful to show up for my life. So you guys, I hope that inspires you. I hope you're pumped up. And, you know, I mentioned twice in the show here today about the College of Confidence, but you might be wondering, what exactly is the College of Confidence and what will it do for you? Well, if I were to put the College of Confidence into just a few words, I would say it's the place to go online to learn how to create a life you love. It's a Netflix-style, on-demand assortment of lessons and courses in confidence that you can use to think happier, live healthier, and do big things with your life. It's a community of others who are motivated to stop playing small and start playing big. It's the most affordable, faith-based Christian life coaching program on the internet, with real personalized support from me to help you step courageously into life that you were created to live. You can find out more at collegeofconfidence.com. And I'm pretty excited because we have a new course available. If you struggle with self-criticism, with self-pressure, with obsession of achievement, performance, caring too much what people think, you got to get in. We are working on a new course that's going to be released soon on perfectionism. It's going to be Perfectionism Cleanse, and it's going to be exclusively available to College of Confidence members. So I cordially invite you. This is your invitation to come in before that course gets released so we can get to know each other. I can coach you. And I did want to address, there were a couple of people who said, look, I just want to come. I don't know if I want to be part of the community. Is that okay? Absolutely. We have tens of thousands of dollars worth of courses that are self-guided and self-directed. And those are self on your own. Like it's Netflix style work through, and we guide you through exactly what course to take when based on your goals. And then you can submit if you have anything that I can help you with. If you have a specific question, I am there for my members. We have, even if you don't want to post it publicly, we cover them on our live group coaching calls. You can stay anonymous if you don't want your name to be released. We respect, everybody has a different approach to what's going to help them in the College of Confidence. And we have members who are super engaged and interactive, and we have members who just like to observe. So there's no right or wrong way, but there, I can tell you this, the one thing it does is it really helps you step out of playing small and step in to playing big, to create a life you love. And when you create a life you love, you inspire others to do the same. And so I love that just gosh, domino effect. So our listener of the episode actually is a friend who was a new friend of mine, sent me an email named Ryan, and he just said, "Hey, good morning, Trish. I absolutely love your show, and it's been helping me through some tough times, a lot of tough times. And Ryan, I just wanted you to know I hear you. I am cheering for you. It sounds like you were, and you shared more, but I wanna honor what you shared, and keep it private. But you are walking through a transition, and it's challenging, and all struggle, if we look at it with the right perspective, will turn into strength. I know there are points wherever you, at any given point, you guys, we have mountains, we have mountain peaks and valleys. And they can make you feel stuck. But it's sometimes right when we're stuck that we really can step out. It's that the moments we're stuck that our perseverance and our clarity gets unveiled to us. And then you can step into really saying, look, the story is not done. And the story is not done. And how cool is it that every day we are growing? I just think it's fantastic. And Ryan had asked a question, by the way, that is the College of Confidence or is my coaching intended only for women? And the answer is no. Now, we are, the majority of members in the COC are women, but we do have our handful of wonderful men. But as I said, it's as involved or not involved as you want. If you want to be part of the community chats or not, you just want to go self-guided. And then also, if you've thought about working one-on-one with me and you aren't sure if I work with men, I do. Of course I do. So thank you, Ryan, for that question. Thank you for being a listener. And thank you for allowing me to walk through this season of your life, season of transition, and just be a source of encouragement and reminder to you of probably a lot of what you already know, but we all could bear to hear over and over. Okay, guys, and so as promised, we're going to close out today with a sneak peek, a little preview action into next week's topic with a very special guest of mine, my 4-year-old Ellie. Okay, so I have my special guest on here. Would you like to say your name?
My name is Ellie.
This is Ellie, and Ellie, how old are you?
4.
My goodness, and you have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
And a lot of sillies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a question for you. You know how sometimes mommy works on not being in a hurry, but sometimes I am? Which way do you like me better? Do you like it when I'm really, really rushed, or do you like it when we have time?
I like it when we have time.
Yeah, what does life look like when we have time?
I like and when you're in a rush and we have time.
So you like me all the time? Oh my goodness, I'm the luckiest. Well,
I just like you, but not daddy.
Oh, no. Good thing he doesn't listen to this podcast. You love daddy. So what are some of the things
I like you.
What are some of the things that we like to do when we do have time?
I like to have some fun.
Yeah, and what do we also do? We like to color, right?
Yeah.
And we pick flowers.
And we pick flowers.
And we balance on the sidewalk, on the curb.
Right?
What else is fun?
Can I please sing me a song?
I'd love for you to sing me a song.
I can't remember that song, but it's touchy. It's called, I know what it's called.
Is it The Raindrops?
No.
Oh.
It's the mouse. It's the animal song.
Oh, well, cool. Hey, is there anything else you want people to know that it would make their day really wonderful?
You loved Jesus and God and your whole family love you.
Very, yeah. Very much.
Very, very much. And do you know what?
What?
I need to tell you everybody. Hey, do you know what your name is?
Loved, right?
What's your name?
Well, they can't answer you. They might be answering you, but we just can't hear them yet. So they're always going to be loved, and they'll never be alone, right?
Yeah, you're always will be loved and never be alone. And what's your name? Okay.
Great job. And you have great purpose in this world.
And you have great purpose in this world.
Okay, we love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.